Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369 is our text and voicemail line. A lot of rumors swirling about the Bulls right now, and we'll get into all of those right now, but we want to hear your reaction to this. And following through the weekend, it seems like this could potentially be two back-to-back weekends where Matt and I go away for the weekend and something pops off for the Bulls. So if you want to be the first to react, text messages or voicemails, 331-979-1369 is the place to do that. Matt, happy Friday to you. I know all these rumors are swirling around about guys like Rodney Hood and Jabari Parker and what the Bulls decide to do with David Nwaba going forward after rescinding his offer last night. How you doing, first of all, and what are you making of all of this noise
so far?
What's
up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Glad to be back. And again, thanks to Malika Andrews of the Chicago Tribune. If you didn't get to yesterday's episode, I definitely recommend going to check that out. We had a great time chatting with her, sort of welcoming her to the Bulls beat and the insanity that is covering this team that has an insane, bloodthirsty, rabid fan base. I just got back to Chicago earlier today after spending two amazing weeks up in beautiful northern Michigan with my family, and it's nice to be back in Wrigleyville, but I'm already like having withdrawal symptoms, particularly my six-month-old niece, who is like the only thing I care about other than the Bulls in the world right now. But hey, it looks like it's going to be a pretty beautiful weekend here in Chicago, so can't really complain.
I don't blame you for being a little bit depressed that you have to go back to Wrigleyville, especially the stumbling that they're
at
having.
At least the Cubs are out of town right now, so it can be like a nice, easy, like soft transition into being back here, as opposed to up in northern Michigan where you feel like you're the only person in the world.
Well, if you want to hear all of our coverage of the Chicago Cubs, I suggest go to Locked On Cubs. Follow Ryan Davis over on Twitter, too. He does a phenomenal job with Locked On Cubs. It's the first year that this has been on board, so he's got phenomenal coverage. If you like what you're hearing here, you're going to hear similar things over at Locked On Cubs. And also give us, our friends over at Locked On Bears, a follow and a subscribe as well. All right, let's dive into all of this Bulls stuff, Matt. So last night, we heard that the Bulls rescinded David Nwaba's offer, and that's not really that surprising, but it makes him an unrestricted free agent now. What do you make of that move? We've been hearing possibilities of they're trying to clear cap space in order to bring on a Melo dump, which I'd like to pat myself on the back for bringing up that idea last Friday. But outside of that, if that deal doesn't get done, you see Nwaba going to another team, or could the Bulls just say, you know what, do the same thing as Zach LaVine was doing in essence and go out and see what other offers are legitimate out there, and if he finds another deal that suits him better, that's what he's going to do. What do you make of this entire thing with David Nwaba?
Yeah, so they withdrew the qualifying offer, so now instead of a restricted free agent, he's an unrestricted free agent. I'm guessing that we've heard from a couple different sources that this is basically the Bulls. This, in addition to the Jaren Grant trade, is something leading up to a larger move that the Bulls are trying to execute here in the offseason. And Casey Johnson, a friend of the pod, who said in his most recent mailbag column that sounds like, from what he's hearing, the Bulls are, quote, not finished yet with the offseason, and that these moves are leading to something bigger. If that is some kind of situation where they're being the team to help the Thunder facilitate a buyout of Melo so that he can make his way to Houston, there better be a darn good asset coming along with that, most notably a first-round draft pick with limited protections on it. Because you think about what that Thunder team will be, even once they get Melo out of there, they just got PG-13 to recommit. They still got Westbrook. It's not like that's going to be a lottery pick. It just doesn't seem likely. So if they were going to do that, like I said, it would have to be a nice asset. As far as Nwaba and whether or not the Bulls were going to keep him and wanted to keep him, it seems like, from what I can tell, they are just still not close enough in their negotiations as far as what Nwaba is looking for contract-wise and what the Bulls are willing to pay him, because they still want to keep this financial flexibility, which got squeezed a bit when they did match that offer sheet for LaVine. So I think that's the situation there. As much as they praise Nwaba, and they did do a darn good job of scooping him up off waivers a year ago, and he was a good player for this team, I don't see him as a player that the Bulls front office is going to be willing to break the bank for. And if they see a bigger, better opportunity to use that money that they would use to sign Nwaba, it wouldn't be surprising to me to see them let him walk.
Yeah, I think the thing that goes over for me, and I guess I just learned about this too, is Lakers fans and people I was talking to who had this similar situation happen with Nwaba. Obviously, Nwaba didn't have as good of a year, but the potential was still there, definitely. And they were talking about how they said, you know, the Lakers were trying to make other moves last summer before they brought back David Nwaba, and they really did want to bring him back. The Bulls scooped him up before that could happen. And I feel like this is a similar situation this year. Is David Nwaba is betting on himself and going to go to a place that actually wants him. And I'm not saying the Bulls don't want him, but necessarily it's more so David Nwaba maybe feels like he is owed more money than the Bulls think. And the space between those two are completely different. The one thing that I'd be really disappointed with, Matt, and even if the Bulls don't see David Nwaba as a guy for the future on this team, letting him walk for nothing would be kind of a disappointment if you think about how the timeline added up last year and how we talked about they used the excuse that David Nwaba probably wouldn't have been able to be brought on last summer if they wouldn't have had to sell the pick that ended up being Jordan Bell. I look at that scenario and it's like, okay, David Nwaba had a really nice year last year, and you talked about how you wanted this guy over a second round pick. And to me, it's like, okay, you told us one thing a year ago, and now this year, and if they're deciding to make other moves, then it makes sense. But to get to let David Nwaba walk for nothing, which I feel like he still has value as a young player, and on a deal that maybe isn't sort of incentivized for the Bulls, I find myself saying that it would be a real shame if the Bulls let him walk and the Bulls got nothing for him, and then he turned around next year and he was a really solid player with value.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other thing you have to think about, if you are saying, well, you know, the front office actually did a good thing when they found this kid and brought him in to their roster, and he looked like a young player with promise this past season. Think about where he plays on the court. I mean, he's kind of a combo shooting guard who can maybe play some minutes at the three if the Bulls are going real small. But you look at those two spots, the Bulls just drafted Chandler Hutchison, who is a combo shooting guard small forward who they want to bring into the fold. And as opposed to last season when they took their sweet-ass time to bring LaVine back, and then LaVine was also shut down early to end the season, LaVine is the guy that they just matched an offer sheet for, who's going to make big money, who needs to spend as much time as he can playing the two with Markkanen on the floor, with Chris Dunn on the floor, to see if the chemistry between those three players can actually work. Because in the small sample size of last season, it looked like it didn't. So if you're committing the money to LaVine, you got to commit the minutes to LaVine, who was on a minutes limit last season, didn't play back-to-backs. All of those different things opened up plenty of opportunities for Nwaba to get some minutes. But are the Bulls more focused on turning Zach LaVine into a player who's worth that contract, or bringing back David Nwaba? I think, to me, it's pretty clear the focus is on LaVine. And I'm sorry, Nwaba, that kind of means that you're less valuable to them now than you were in a season when they had all sorts of moving pieces and needed warm bodies to play basketball.
I think getting David Nwaba off of the MLE, if that's a possibility at all, I know we had heard Kevin O'Connor's mention that that could be a move if the Bulls decide, in fact, to take on Melo's money. That could be a move as well. I don't know, though. I feel like there's other competitive teams out there, and we've talked about it. The market's kind of dried up for guards, especially young guards, and I don't know where the money he's looking for, what type of money he's looking for, but I'd imagine if the Bulls can bring him back and say, you know what, we've got we have a place for you to play next year and be a rotation part, and if you liked Chicago, bring him back on the MLE, and which is, what, about $5.4, $5.3 million for next season. I think that'd be a good move for the Bulls. I don't know if David Nwaba has other interest from other teams, especially with the market kind of drying up over the last few days, and you're seeing more and more teams not needing to spend, or the people that do have money still want to go after some of these top names like Marcus Smart and Rodney Hood and Jabari Parker, and even Clint Capella is still out there. So some of those other teams that might be interested in him might still wait until they see where these other top players in free agency go.
Yeah, I think so too. We might be sitting here a month from now at mid-August, and there will still be a lot of those mid-tier free agents unsigned and on the market trying to figure out what their options are, because obviously the top tier and most of the, you know, latter parts of the top tier all signed, not all, but most signed quickly. They knew that the market was tight this summer. They scooped up whatever money they could get, and they made those decisions. But those second and third tiers of players where Nwaba finds himself, they are still going to try to maybe take their time, let all of the dust settle from the early July signings the teams made, and say, okay, where is the best fit for me financially, and as far as my opportunity to shine and play good basketball, play on a winning team, all those factors. And now that the market acted quickly and it has dried up, who knows? We might not get an affirmative, where is David Nwaba playing next season answer for weeks, even though there's, you know, some talk going on right now about maybe the Bulls deciding to let him walk and what it might be a part of as far as the next move the Bulls want to make. There's a good chance that we'll be sitting here a month from now and plenty of players, restricted or unrestricted free agents, will still be unsigned.
We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're talking about more of these free agent rumors, talk about a potential deal with Oklahoma City to buy out Melo, and knowing that the Bulls are one of the few teams that have the room to do that, we'll talk about that. Talk about, obviously, Jabari Parker as those rumors are heating up. I know Matt he's just sitting on the edge of his seat being able to talk about this. We'll be right back here on Locked On Bulls. Stay right with us here. Back here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, if you want to react to anything that we're talking about on today's episode, or if you got comments about our interview yesterday with Malika Andrews, that was a phenomenal interview as well. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Our text and voicemail line, if anything happens this weekend, you guys want to immediately react to that, hit us up there, and we'll play all of those voicemails, those reactions, those text messages on next week's show. You can always hit us up on social media too for instant reaction at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Jordan C. Malley. So Matt, let's go with the Parker rumors first. Let's talk about this, because I know this is a topic that triggers you a little bit, but both you and I have the same mentality here. Is Jabari Parker doesn't make any sense with the Chicago Bulls, with the roster that's currently in place, with the money that he's probably going to try to command, but yet we still continue to hear these rumors about them two being connected. So overall, if the Bulls can't find a way to land Melo and be able to buy him out and get assets for that, if they turn to Parker or Hood, what's your reaction going to be?
Well, I mean, Hood is one thing, and we talked about Hood on, I don't know, maybe our mailbag or our Tuesday episode earlier this week. And like I said then, I think Hood's a good basketball player, but I'm just not really sold on him being the piece the Bulls need to add right now, especially considering what this team is trying to do in their rebuild, moving from year one to year two, and the financial flexibility they want to keep, and the fact that, as I said earlier, they have less of that now that they signed LaVine. But that's Rodney Hood. I have nothing against Rodney Hood. I have something against Jabari Parker and the obsession that seems to exist with a significant portion of this Bulls fan base that thinks it's a good idea to sign him. And I just don't know where you're coming from other than a, hey, this is another Simeon kid who won state titles playing high school basketball in Chicago. Who the F cares about that? You think he has potential and just, you know, got a few unlucky breaks in the first couple years of his NBA career with the injuries and have potential in his future? Good for you. I hope that Jabari Parker has a nice, long, happy NBA career and a nice, long, happy life. But right now, presently, where this Bulls team is and what they need, Jabari Parker does not answer any of those needs or questions. Just none. Across the board. People that think he could come in and play the three with Markkanen at the four and LaVine at the two, you are out of your tiny pea-sized mind. I just, and to me, and that's not even talking about adding another guy to your roster who has overcome not one but two ACL tears. We're all still worried about LaVine and if he can become the player that we all want him to be. You want to add Parker to that? And meanwhile, look at the defensive shit show that happens when you ask Parker to play minutes at the three next to Zach LaVine at the two? No, thank you. All of it is a big fat no thank you to me. I don't understand why some Bulls fans want this guy.
To me, there's three things that you just said there that blow my mind. Everybody coming to me telling me that Jabari Parker can play the wing, he can play the three. No. Think about putting Jabari Parker on the same rotation as Zach LaVine at the two. Wasn't everybody that hated the Zach LaVine signing or didn't like it and said he's not going to be able to do anything defensively? Those same people, I wonder, are you talking about signing Jabari Parker as well? Because pairing those guys at the two and the three might be the worst combination for defense. The teams are going to be putting up 120, 130 a night against these guys. Like, two ACL injuries scare me. You paid a guy 4 years, $78 million that is just coming off an ACL injury. We've dealt with Derrick Rose in the past. I just don't understand for the money that Parker's going to want, and if he becomes an unrestricted free agent, the Bucks have till midnight tonight to decide whether or not they're going to rescind their offer to him, and it sounds more and more like that could happen, but they still have till midnight to do that. But if Parker's asking for $12.5 to $13 million over 2 or 3 years, you know, per year, I don't understand that. And Parker can't play the wing. He just can't. Yeah. The Bucks have tried it multiple times. And you're talking about a guy, even if we were talking about Jabari Parker with no ACL injuries, I still have question marks on whether or not he can actually play the wing position.
Yeah.
And coming in the first 2 or 3 years, he played the majority of the minutes as a Buck at the four. So where are we getting this idea that Jabari Parker can actually play the three and play it effectively? I get it. He's a decent offensive player, but you're talking about pairing two of almost the worst defensive players next to each other on the court next year, and that's a formula for disaster.
And I've seen a lot of people come at me on Bulls Twitter saying, well, it's not like you have to sign him to a max deal if that's what he wants. Maybe he's willing to sign a deal for 1 or 2 years that doesn't screw the Bulls over, and they give him a prove-it deal where they sign him to something closer to the mid-level. That still doesn't change the fact that he doesn't fit your roster right now. To me, that argument is a moot point because it does not change the other facts that he is a risk and he doesn't fit. I don't care if you're talking about a 1 year deal or a 4 year deal. Either way, he's a bad idea.
Matt, before we get to what you were ranting about before we decided to record, I want Bulls fans to hear that as well. The other thing, too, is maybe this isn't complete interest from the Chicago Bulls in general. Maybe this is a ploy and this is a negotiation strategy. I was talking about it and I posted it on our Locked On Bulls feed at Locked On Bulls. I said maybe this is two different things. Maybe this is one, the Bulls trying to play a game with the Oklahoma City Thunder and say, you know what, fine, if you guys don't want us to buy out Melo's contract, you don't want to give us exactly what we want out of that deal, fine, we're going to go elsewhere and we're going to talk to other free agents and we can do that with our money instead. And so maybe that's Oklahoma City looking around and saying, okay, if the Bulls end up putting all their money into other free agents, they're not going to be able to take on Melo's deal. And there's very few teams in this league that can do that right now. And so maybe this is a push to Oklahoma City saying maybe they'll give us the extra piece that they don't initially want to give us. And whether that's a pick or that's a player or whoever or the money wise, because Oklahoma City has $5 million that they can trade on top of that. So we'll look at that, too. And so maybe I think this is a negotiation strategy as far as Oklahoma City goes. And the other point I made, too, is Jabari Parker may want to be a Bull, and maybe that's what's motivating here, but I don't think the sentiment is mutual on both sides 100%. And look, Jabari Parker's agent is Mark Bartlestein, Chicago Priority Sports. We've talked about that before with the connection to Jerry Reinsdorf and the Chicago Bulls. I understand all those connections. Parker's from Chicago here too. I can't buy into the fact that I think the Bulls have 100% mutual interest in Parker the way Parker wants to come to Chicago or come back here. And two, like I said before, the Bucks have till midnight to rescind their offer. Otherwise, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And we still don't know whether or not the Bucks are interested in bringing him back at all. It sounds more and more like he doesn't want to go back there, and the feeling there is mutual. But I just don't see it as 100% make sense for the moves that the Bulls have made post Jimmy Butler. So it just, to me, it makes sense historically over 5 years, but from what the Bulls have done since Jimmy Butler's trade till now, the move doesn't make any sense.
No, and what you were saying about this being maybe more of a one-way street of interest as opposed to mutual interest, and I think you retweeted it from our Locked On Bulls account. That's something that Vinny Goodwill, Bulls beat guy for NBC Sports Chicago, said, saying, my sources are telling me that Jabari really wants to play for the Bulls, but nothing we've heard from anything reliable says that there is mutual interest and that the Bulls are interested in signing him. And if there's anything like that, I think it's what you said earlier, and it's just a smokescreen from the Bulls' perspective. Because I know we sell this front office short sometimes, and I know that there are a lot of you out there that are still skeptics of this front office, and I get that. But they would have to be some of the dumbest executives on the planet as far as operational things, where this franchise is going, and from a basketball X's and O's standpoint, to think that Jabari Parker is the answer to their problems right now. And a lot of you are probably rolling your eyes at me right now and say, well, yeah, they are some of the dumbest basketball minds on the planet. No. They might be guys that have made mistakes while holding these offices. Absolutely. They have made mistakes. But this one, they would be otherworldly, levels of Bulls front office stupidity we have not yet seen if they actually are legitimately interested in signing this guy. So I wouldn't believe any of those reports. The reports that Jabari wants to play for the Bulls, yeah, that's believable. He's from here. And in Milwaukee, it's a small market city, and Jabari still believes that he could be the guy on a team, and that team's focus right now and forevermore through his prime is giving everything that he wants to Giannis Antetokounmpo and keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. Parker is nowhere near the top of their priority list right now for good reason. So it makes sense that Parker wants to come play here, but I would not believe any shred or sniff of anything you see on Twitter that says, oh, the Bulls are definitely interested in Parker. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
We got to take a short break, but when we come back, Want to give Matt you an interesting comparison here from Parker and somebody around the league. And I think Bulls fans are going to be surprised with the numbers that I'm about to bring up. So stay with us here, right here on Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, Matt, before we turn over and talk about something besides Jabari Parker, I wanted to throw some stats out there and throw this at Bulls fans who maybe want Jabari Parker, or fans who are on the fence, or even fans who disagree with even having a remote interest in Parker. My comparison here is I was looking at Jabari Parker's numbers over the last two seasons, and I combined both his second ACL injury when he came back from 31 games last season, and also looked at pre-injury where he played 51 games in 2016-2017. So here's what I came up with. Jabari Parker averaged 29 minutes, 6.5 field goals, 13.4 field goals attempted, 48.5% shooting. He averaged about three threes per game at 37.4% clip. His efficiency field goal percentage is 52.9, 74.2 free throw percentage. And then you look at the basic stats. You look at 16.4 points per game, 5.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.3 blocks. And then I look at some of the advanced numbers. His offensive box plus minus in those two seasons, 0.7. His defensive box plus minus is a negative 1.5 over those two seasons. And bringing us to a box plus minus of negative 0.8. So that's actually worse than the average player per 100 possessions. So I look at that and I say, what kind of player do we already have that is similar to Jabari Parker? And I looked and I pointed myself to Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker's numbers, if you just take Jabari Parker's numbers from the last two seasons and combine them, and then you take Bobby Portis's season from last year, and even if you want to go to per 36 minutes, it gets even closer. They're off by 2 or 3%. Bobby Portis, if you go per 36%, if you go per 36 minutes played, Bobby Portis over his first three seasons, 17.7 points per game. Jabari Parker, 17.9 points per game. Field goal percentage, 49% to Jabari Parker, 46.3 to Bobby Portis. Defensive rebound, 7.4 for Bobby Portis, 4.5 for Jabari Parker. 10.9 overall total rebounds, 6.4 total rebounds for Jabari Parker. I look at their three-point percentage too, which is going to be an argument for those who want Jabari Parker here, so that he can play the wing, he can be a viable option at three. Over Jabari Parker's first four seasons in the NBA, he's only a 35.2% three-point shooter. Bobby Portis in his career, 34.5%. My point being here is, why pay Jabari Parker $12, $13 million over two or three seasons per when you already have pretty much the same player here with two healthy knees, no ACL surgeries, and you could have the potential to re-sign him at about $8 to $10 million a year, give or take. So the fact that when we brought up Bobby Portis being a re-sign here in Chicago, people got angry at us that saying that Bobby Portis isn't worth $10 to $12 million per year. Well, if you think Jabari Parker is worth $12 to $14 million per season, in which Jabari Parker, I think, feels that he's worth that, you already have Bobby Portis. They play the same position. I don't care if you think Jabari Parker can play the three or the not. Simply, he can't. He hasn't proven that he can. So that's out of the conversation. Why pay a guy $12 to $14 million over the next two or three seasons when you literally have that in Bobby Portis right now? So those are the two players that I think compare most. And it's funny because you have Bobby Portis already on your roster. He likes playing here. The front office chose him over Nico Mirotic just last season. Why not just extend Bobby Portis when you're getting basically the same player but healthier?
I mean, I don't have much to add to that, Jordan. It's an interesting numbers comparison to make.
Take that for data.
Take that for data, Fizdale style. Not just a random NBA player comparison, but to say, hey, look, here's this guy. He's already on this team. Oh, and by the way, he plays the four, which is the position that Jabari plays. Well, thank you for providing those who believe in stats more than they believe in what they see in front of them and the eye test thing. If there are those you statisticians out there who think that Jabari is worth signing, there you go. Jordan just provided you another reason for why you are misinformed. So can we not talk about this anymore?
And speaking of misinformed, Matt, I just want you to relay the conversation you were having between you and I about who to believe and what to believe when you're reading on Twitter or some of even articles from established places. Just touch on that real fast.
Yeah, sure. So this is the second time that this particular quote unquote journalist has put out a headline involving the Bulls. And then this is something that ESPN big heads like Brian Windhorst have been joking about recently on Twitter and on podcasts, this whole aggregation of quote-unquote reports and information when Windhorst goes on a podcast and says, oh, I think something, 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 and people take it as fact. And that so that's one way that that kind of misinformation spreads and happens, and it's getting out of control. And this is another one where people just say, well, I want to make an eye-grabbing headline, so I'm going to put this here. And so I mean, I'm going to call him out by name, and if he's got a problem with me, he can come talk to me on Twitter. I'm doubting he listens to this show, but this appears to be an older gentleman by the name of Gary or Jerry Wolfel, who is a Racine Journal Times columnist. He has close to 11,000 followers on Twitter. And so, yeah, he's like a smaller paper up in Wisconsin, so this is why he's writing about Jabari. He had this headline, just earlier today. Bulls and Kings have more than passing interest in Bucks Jabari Parker. And then, if you are dumb enough to actually click that clickbait, you go in and see that basically nothing in his column states anything about the Bulls actually being interested. He says, well, Parker could give the Bulls a big-time scoring threat and give the Bulls arguably the best young front court in the game, assuming that he plays the three. That's wrong. This is my favorite sentence. Some NBA observers speculate Chicago would be the ideal spot for Parker, who was born and raised there, became a local legend, a high school phenom, yada, 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 is the rest of the sentence. All of that is just hypothetical jargon bullshit. Some speculate Chicago would be the ideal fit for Parker, saying Parker would be great there. And then several people on Twitter, including I saw Chicago Bulls rumors. If you follow them on Twitter, don't. It's just a bunch of BS. They'll put some graphics and a photoshopped picture of Parker in a Bulls jersey and say, oh, here's this report saying the Bulls are interested in Parker. No. They took this guy, this random small-town newspaper in Wisconsin, who is misinformed and basically just printing falsehoods, and then basically just retweeted out to the Twitterverse, and then people see it, and people retweet it, and people comment, and that's how all this shit gets started. And I'm sick of it, because there's just no truth to it. So just be careful when you see rumors, headlines, clickbait headlines. I mean, and you and I talked about this leading up to free agency and also leading up to the draft. Follow and set notifications for the prime time journalists that you trust and reporters that you trust. Woj notifications. In Chicago, the local beat guys. Because for the most part, they are impartial and they are just telling you what happens. They each have their various leanings, but it's still just honest to goodness reporting, here's what's happening. Everything else, ignore it as anything other than speculation and rumors and gossip. But it's annoying how quickly this stuff
spreads. Yeah, and everybody that wants to get mad at us for talking about this too, it's like we don't pretend to break news or to say hashtag sources, no, quote unquote sources, because we want to give you guys the best information that we are provided. So we ask people that are in the know. And for those of you who maybe are trying to set notifications for the best players in the game, there's three people that I can think of: Mark Stein, Woj, and Shams. Those three provide
Yeah, those are the big three on the national scale. You don't need notifications for anybody else unless you want to do a couple of the local people.
All right, final topic here before we get out of here for the weekend. Let's talk about Oklahoma City real fast. We had this conversation literally last week on Friday. I brought it up just as a kind of a passing point before we ended the show, but now it seemed to gain a little bit more of traction as far as who can obtain Melo's contract. It's obvious there's going to be a buyout that's going to happen. It's going to just depend on what team will be able to take him on. And Oklahoma City, they would be saving over $100 million if they were able to deal him off to, say, somewhere like Chicago. So to you, I pose the question is, like, what do you have to have back in order to obtain Melo's contract? And do you feel over history's time, what it's told us, whether or not the Bulls would actually, quote unquote, waste money in buying Melo out? I use waste money in quotes because to you and I, it's not a waste because you're getting young assets or you're getting picks in return for using the money that you have to buy him out. So, but I don't know if the Bulls front office thinks that way or if Jerry Reinsdorf or the people that own the Chicago Bulls think that way. So what do you have to have in order for the Bulls to make this deal? Because I brought up definitely the first round pick next year in 2019. I have to have that. And if you don't want to give me Terrence Ferguson or Hamidou Diallo, who is their second round pick this year, which they acquired a pick to get him, so I think they're pretty high on him. But if you don't give me one of those players and a first round pick, then you almost have to take Felicio's contract, and you probably have to include Omer Asik in that as well. And anything else, I'm hanging up the phone, but Terrence Ferguson, Diallo, and a first round pick unprotected, I have to have two of those three to take on Melo.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, as far as what would be required for me if I'm in the Bulls front office's shoes to feel good about making that happen and helping the Thunder make that happen, yeah, it's got to be largely unprotected pick, especially because, as I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about how this may have factored into the Nwaba decision if the Bulls are actually trying to do this. the Thunder don't appear to be lottery bound next season. But in the off chance that they are, it seems like it would be pretty fair for the Bulls to say, all right, well, don't protect this pick in the lottery in case they do make that lottery, because all of a sudden in 2019, those lottery odds are going to be more evenly distributed. It's got to be a first round pick. And if it's not two picks, ideally two first rounders or a first and a second, then, as you said, like maybe throwing a player in there. But I don't love any of the pieces on that Denver roster that they might be actually willing to move. So that's where I stop. That's basically it. You got to give me an unprotected first. And if you're not giving me two draft picks, I don't even know. I might just hang up there.
I can see it. Maybe Oklahoma City doesn't want to give up on either of the young players that they have. Look, Terrence Ferguson hasn't had a really good summer league this year, too. He's been wildly inconsistent. And you can go and read beat reporters who are there watching
right.
him. And all the reports I was reading about him was like, wow, he seems like probably 3 years off from being an actual rotation player. And while his ceiling's still high there and people think he's going to be good, it hasn't looked good for this year in summer league. This is year two for him.
Yeah, too. And like he's a guy that I was looking at as a potential Bulls pick before they made that trade as somebody they might take at 16. That seemed like yep. he was right in that area and it could be a piece that the Bulls needed. But yeah, after what he's done more accurately in the league so far, and the projections we're seeing about his NBA career moving forward, I'm not really all that interested in Ferguson.
It's a win if you can get Cristiano Felicio's deal off the books for the Bulls. If that's something that they could do,
great.
If that's something they could do, would you forgive them for the...
And Stein has been tweeting about that as a potential possibility. Speaking of reasons to follow Mark Stein, dude knows what he's talking about. He did mention Felicio as potentially a maneuver that could help Melo get out of OKC, so you never know.
Well, that's good about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Tomorrow, Summer League Bulls play again at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central time here in Chicago. They're going up against the Detroit Pistons. This is a knockout round, so if the Bulls lose, they will not play any longer. So hopefully they continue to play well. Played well in Summer League last game that they played in against the Dallas Mavericks. Antonio Blakeney popped off, and we can talk more about him next week when we figure out exactly if the Bulls are going to continue to play. But he looked really impressive as an offensive player. So the Bulls play at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on Saturday, 3 p.m. Central time. So check that out. That'll be on NBA TV. You can also see it on ESPN3. If you've got the ESPN app and you're connected to your server, whatever your cable service is, ESPN, if you pay for that, you can actually watch it on your phone too. I don't know if a lot of people knew about that, but also on the ESPN app. So if you've got an Xbox or a PS4, you can watch it there. Multiple places to see the Bulls play if they're not on ESPN2. So once again, Bulls 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central time tomorrow, taking on the Detroit Pistons. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But That channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central time. You can follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. If you want to hit us up with all of your reaction, if something tends to happen this weekend with either a potential trade for the Bulls, or if they decide to go ahead and sign Parker or Rodney Hood, we'd love to hear your reaction, your thoughts. So drop us a voicemail or a text message. Once again, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.